So why did you decide to stand?
I decided to stand because I've always been interested in politics right from the age of about 16 years old. I grew up during Mrs. Thatcher's era and, you know, I realised that I wasn't a Thatcherite. I realised I wasn't a Conservative. And at the time, the Labour Party gave me hope for a better future. So I joined the Labour Party at that time and sort of been involved throughout my kind of adulthood. And then I had the opportunity to be the candidate in Shipley in the last general election. It was the first time that I'd stood for actually for any kind of elected public office. Enjoyed the experience, got a lot out of it. Felt that we'd run a pretty effective campaign. And then when Theresa May called a general election for June, I put myself forward again.
Do you consider yourself to be local?
As you can tell from my accent, I come from the south of England originally. So I was born in Poole in Dorset. My mum still lives down there. And I've lived in the area since 2008. I moved up to West Yorkshire from south to get a job at Leeds University.
What do you think is the most important issue facing the constituency?
I think the most important issue facing the constituency is the most important issue facing the country, which is what sort of Brexit do we want to have to start off with, and then what sort of country do we want to be after Brexit? So my view is that the British people have got a settled view on Brexit. That was settled in the EU referendum last year, which is that we'll be leaving the European Union. Now, it's not what I voted for. I did vote for Remain, but above all else, I'm a Democrat. I respect the view of the British people. And my view is that we should have a Brexit that tries as much as possible to protect jobs and the economy. And in terms of the kind of country that we want to be, you know, I do think that our vital public services, hospitals and schools have been starved of the necessary funds that they require because of the Conservative government's austerity. And I do think that we should be asking the higher earners, people earning the highest income, to be paying a bit more on their taxes in order to provide decent funding for our public services.
What do you consider to be the most important policy?
I think what I consider to be the most important policy is basically proper funding for essential public services. Most people use the National Health Service. Most people have got children in their families that go to school. It's vital for our country that our children have the best possible start in life, and also it's vital for the health of everybody in the country that we have an effective, well-run National Health Service. I suppose Brexit is the kind of elephant in the room as well. What concerns me is that the Conservatives have basically threatened to have a kind of cliff edge Brexit whereby if we can't get a deal with the EU, they'd just be prepared to leave with no deal, and that could be a big threat to jobs and the economy if we haven't got a trading deal in place with our main export market, which is the European Union.
Why do you think you'd be the best person to represent the constituency?
I think I'd be the best person to represent the constituency because I'm hardworking, I care about people. All my life I've worked in public service. I'm articulate. I'll be able to argue cases in Parliament, not only putting forward particular policies that will help the broad breadth of people in the constituency, but also arguing for individuals that have got particular problems. I'll be there arguing their case with ministers and trying to sort things out to help them with any problems that they might have.
Now, according to the manifesto, Labour would like to have a natural monopoly over our energy infrastructure and would like to control the energy companies. Exactly what is the proposal on energy and how would it be achieved?
I don't know any more than you do so far on our proposals. All we've had so far is the draft leak that came out earlier on today. But assuming that that is correct and hasn't been amended, then basically I think what we would have is a publicly owned national grid. You know, the national grid is infrastructure for the nation. It's something that is absolutely essential, but currently it's owned by a private company that is making millions of pounds in profit. And we think such an essential, a vital piece of infrastructure such as the national grid should be in the hands of the government. Now, in terms of how that would actually be achieved, we'll have to wait and see for the manifesto that comes out next week. But what I'm confident will happen, and what I think should happen, is that the manifesto will be fully costed. So there won't be any uncosted spending commitments. Everything in the manifesto that we say we're going to spend money on will say exactly where that money is going to come from.
Okay, so we're talking about possibly numbers like 25 billion and 38 billion have been mentioned in terms of what the National Grid is worth on the stock market. The difference being because the National Grid partly owns part of America's energy business, but also the National Grid only owns part of our gas infrastructure. There are other gas companies that would have to be bought as well. That starts pushing the finances up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could do. You know, there are precedents for this. You know, that there was sort of nationalisation of parts of the water industry kind of back in the 50s and 60s. Exactly how we go about achieving that, it's really up to John McDonnell and the finance team to sort of lay out their proposals in the manifesto next week.
National Grid is, of course, producing a profit. Its shareholders are getting a good return on it. Its shareholders include small shareholders. Now, they're going to want a good return for their money on that. That's a lot of votes you could be alienating, isn't it?
The shareholders will be given, I would have thought, as I said, I'm not speaking from insider knowledge here, but I would have thought the shareholders will be given a fair price for their holdings, for the shares that they hold. I think that would be fair.
Now, it's been mentioned 162 million extra would cover the cost of hospital parking fees. Now, where would this money come from to cover that? And how realistic is that figure of 162 million?
Well, the hospital parking fees, currently I don't know the details of where that money will come from. There has been some initial announcements that it will come from increased taxation on private health insurance. We'll have to wait for the details when the official manifesto comes out, but the initial indications were that that's how we would pay for that.
It's mentioned as well that the figures, that the 162 million is based on an extrapolated figure and doesn't actually include all the hospitals in the country, all the foundation trusts, etc., that are in the country. And the ones that haven't are some of the largest ones, like the Oxford University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, which has some of the biggest fees. And then when you add on top of that the Barnett formula, because this would apply to England, Scotland, Wales having separate arrangements, that it would take the bill up to 190 million. It seems to be creeping upwards.
It will be fully costed. We will lay out exactly how we will pay for that. But I think it's the right thing to do. You know, I don't think hospital staff should be, you know, who have to go in all hours of the day to look after patients should be paying high charges for parking their cars. And it's the same for people who are going into hospital for treatment and also for hospital visitors. You know, we have a national health service, and it shouldn't be private. We shouldn't have hospitals charging people for parking their car if they're using the hospital facilities. That's what the Labour Party believe, and we'll find a way to pay for that.